Vectis Radio, serving the island since 2010, and now on DAB.
You're here to chat with me, of course, this morning about the news article that I was looking at on thewhite.com, and we came across it, we discussed it on the show yesterday. So, do you want to just talk to us more about this evidence that councillors are looking into around the barbecue and lantern restrictions?
Yeah, so we started this ball rolling in the last, before the election, so the last council term, and basically it was a tranche of legislation possibility came down from government in order to look at three things: balloon releases on council property, barbecues, and lanterns, Chinese lanterns. And we chose to consult on all three of them separately within the consultation to get people's on the islands their views on whether they should be banned, whether they should be accepted, what sort of restrictions would they like to see. And we got overwhelming evidence from that consultation that people wanted these all three things banned on council-owned land, which is of course all we can do under this PSPO, so the Public Space Protection Order legislation. Something wider would have to involve a bylaw, and that's a whole other world of pain and torture in terms of setting one up. But anyway, so by and large, 75% of people came back as wanting each one of these three things banned. However, the recommendation from officers was that simply we have not got the resources to implement it in the way that the government sort of laid out in their framework. One, on the cost of things like signage. It would involve over 13,000 signs being put up across the island. And also the enforcement. You know, we have a limited amount of enforcement officers, and I think that's almost more crucial than anything. You know, people want to see that if something is going to go in, it's going to be tackled properly. So coming back to last Thursday, we had the Environment Committee resitting for the first time since the election, and the paper came to us with that, and we had an opportunity obviously to alter the officer's recommendation that said we should effectively can it. And that I managed to put together something to be proposed by myself to get acceptance across the chamber with the nine total committee members, eight other committee members, to pass it, to say that we will then look at other ways of enforcing. Like, is there a better way of doing this? Is there a way we can do it seasonally? Is there a way we can do it in tighter locations? Yeah. So basically, it's commissioned another paper to come back and see if we can actually make it a viable possibility to enforce this on the island, because I think it's so crucial.
Well, it is, isn't it? And thank you for giving me that detailed insight, Ed. I think what you've highlighted more importantly here, and this is why I was really keen to talk to you, was having this conversation off air as well. It's not easy being a councillor, and actually, I think what this article highlights more importantly is that there are issues that councillors want to deal with, and what you've highlighted is there is a formal process that has to be taken place. I'm really surprised, just based on what you've been highlighting to us this morning, the amount of papers and paperwork and process that you have to go through in order to try and achieve this. So I'm assuming you're working with other people as well to do this. I think in the article it says you're working with the Green Party as well on this issue. Is that correct?
So yeah, so on the night there was two sort of pre-submissions. So councillors, we obviously we don't pre make decisions before the committee meeting, but obviously we talk about things that we might be able to come together on, sort of for ease of debate. And obviously we've got a lot through to get through in a fixed time frame of 3 hours, and we have a lot of decisions to be made, and but they can only be made in committee meetings, so we've got to get through things. So essentially before that, we I had a chat with Vic Slavian, and there were some things that she wanted to put forward. So basically, it was like I accepted an amendment, I suppose, to the proposal. But it was a really a coming together of thoughts from across the chamber to put together a piece of of writing to formulate what we actually wanted to say, and that was that we want these things to be looked at. I mean, if we've got time, Billy, just to look at the three things. So we've got balloon releases. I mean, this for me is a huge issue. So I'm a commercial fisherman out of Ventnor, and at this time of year we are plagued with balloons at sea. Now, not only is that an annoyance for me because I'm looking for a red spherical object called my marker boy to go to marks my pots. Now, if I spot a colourful spherical object at sea, I'm heading towards it just to find it's a balloon, you know, and that's a huge thing. But that is the parochial side of it. The main issue is that this is effectively littering. You know, and I argued on the night, I said, I don't get how balloon releases are allowed under littering laws, because just because you drop something and it takes 2 days to hit the floor, is no different to dropping something taking 2 seconds. So I don't quite get how it's allowed, and obviously they have very negative impacts on our biosphere with our flora and fauna. We have a unique environment around here on the island, and for that to be, I don't use this word lightly, plagued with balloons at sea at this time of year. And you know, where are they going after they've popped and after sat on the water? The other thing is, of course, is the barbecue restrictions, the disposal barbecues. We've had obviously recently the Hedden Warren fire, and there's been some small fires in Ventnor as well, actually started by either campfires or barbecues, and that has a huge detrimental effect, which I'm sure I don't need to go into detail of, but you know, it, people quite clearly can't see the impact of such a simple action and the risk that's created, particularly at this time of year, that the ground is already extremely warm, you know, so it's not cold when an ember hits it, it's a lot hotter than it normally is. You've got plenty of oxygen, plenty of fuel, all it needs is a tiny bit of spark, and you've got a huge problem on your hands. And we know that fire cost the local authority a lot of money. It's not the Isle of Wight Council paying that bill, I must say, it's the local fire authority. But you know, there was up to £90,000 worth of ferry fares paid to get mainland appliances over to the island. I say up to because we know that the maximum they paid was £600, and there was 150 crossings. God. So I'm waiting for the exact fee to come back on that. But yeah, that there are costs that this island has borne to it that we need to take into account. And the other thing is the Chinese lanterns, the fire lanterns. For me, they're a hybrid of both. Yes. Not only are they a littering hazard, they are a fire hazard.
And it just makes me wonder, Ed, what goes through people's minds when they do these activities? Because we would not think twice at giving someone a bit of a weird look for dropping a cigarette butt on the pavement and not picking it up. But yet, as you say, and this is why I was really interested in talking to you, you've got that real world experience of working as a fisherman, being on the shores of Ventnor, and actually seeing the impact it has on the environment. So, I mean, in terms of solutions and everything, I know obviously this is going back to you as councillors, I think you said earlier on. What would you like to see pragmatically come out of this? Of course, it's not pragmatic to have 13,000 signs dotted all across the island. We know, don't we, as islanders, it doesn't matter how many signs you put up for dog mess, there are still people, idiots I'm going to call them, that don't pick up their dog mess, or even worse, hang it on a stick or a twig on a tree, which drives me completely barking mad, if you pardon the pun. So what is the solution, do we think, to stopping idiots like we see on the news, on the media, on Facebook, having barbecues when there's been literally 80 days of dry weather?
It's a very good question, Billy, and I think the comparison is made in the chamber actually by Councillor Rochelle, that we need to get to the stage where things like the smoking ban have now got to the stage where you don't even think about it. You don't have to be told not to smoke in a building. People just don't do it. Mm. And I think that it's getting to that stage. And how do you do that? And last year we put in some PSPOs, as they're called, around dogs and letting them off the lead in public spaces. Mm. So now there is a ban on all council-owned land, which includes things like highways, beaches, parks. Your dog is to remain on a lead, and there are signs around saying that. But of course, at the moment, we still have people out there doing it, and without a dog warden or a public space enforcement officer on every single street corner, it's very hard to police. But we need to get to the stage of, with all of these enforcements that are put in, where it is almost self-managed, and that is a huge piece of work in terms of putting out comms, and it ultimately is time-consuming. I mean, there are some things that are obviously more to the fore that we need to look at stronger action on, I think, and maybe things like bylaws around certain areas and certain activities. I personally hate the idea of all these rules. You know, there should just be a stage where we're human beings. We ought to be able to do things that don't affect others. Mm. You know, but quite clearly we're not. You know, we've got a stage where someone's got recklessly put a campfire up atop a head in Warren and allowed it to spread and destroy a very large piece of natural beauty that, you know, potentially is going to take decades to repair.
So it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Seeing it, it really is.
It's a very good question you raise. You know, and as councillors, all we can do is start that ball rolling, do what we can do, but ultimately it takes community buy-in.
No, absolutely, Ed. So I think it sounds to me then, from what you're saying, work needs to be done on this, and I appreciate your honesty and frankness actually in just sort of saying directly, really, like, this needs to be looked into, there needs to be more work done into it, and actually I think that's really reassuring for our listeners at home, hearing our local representatives, our politicians saying that actually we need to look into this more effectively, like, under the microscope before actually commenting on a particular solution one way or the other, because there's obviously it's a multi-pronged issue, isn't it, really? I mean, there's so many avenues you can pursue, but it all does come down to money, doesn't it? And as we know, you've not got an endless supply of it in the council,
particularly for this kind of thing. That's the thing. It's not a statutory duty. Our budget is set around what things that we are legally obliged to deliver. And each year the government sort of gives us an amount of money and they say, oh, that's what you need to deliver this. But the situation the island's in, all our money pretty much goes to adult social care and children's services and things like the environment department and the committee that oversaw this was the Environment and Community Protection Committee. It has a very small budget, budget. And a lot of that actually goes on the staff required to actually deliver things that we need them to deliver. There isn't much things what we call a capital program, which is installing new legislation, even new infrastructure like park benches and stuff like that. There just isn't that money there.
No, it's a shame, isn't it? I mean, I suppose we ought to end on one, I suppose, positive note, or at least one clear, poignant message,
and
that
is,
yeah, a little bit of hope, I suppose. What would your message be to anybody thinking about having a barbecue? Quite frankly, it wouldn't enter my brain. I said before you came into the studio, I was saying, if you're going to have a barbecue, cook the food indoors and have an outside barbecue whilst you're taking it out of the oven and sticking it on the table, which, to be honest with you, it tastes better anyway, in my opinion. But let's say there's somebody out there still not thinking about the environment, because there are, sadly. Mm. Our Vectis Radio listeners are a very intelligent audience and they know right from wrong, morally or otherwise, or legally, like you were talking about earlier on. But what would your message, Ed, be to anyone just thinking about lighting a lantern or a barbecue and sort of convincing them, persuading them to stop?
Well, obviously, this is only what we're talking about here is on council owned land entirely. So, you know, what you want to do at your home is entirely up to you. My suggestion would be that, you know, look at some of the incidents we've seen recently. We had the Chael Show the weekend. On its way there to their traction engine, a steam traction engine, set light to a hedge and caused an 80 metre hedge fire just purely by a tiny little ember coming up the top. Now, was that reckless? No, it wasn't. But quite clearly, there is this heightened risk at this time of year with these conditions that we've got that any form of heat, be it a disposed cigarette butt, be it a bit of ember coming out of a traction engine, be it a disposable barbecue, that can cause a severe fire risk in our natural environment. And obviously the council-owned land, a lot of that is the sort of things that are quite likely to go up. Things like parks, things like that, open spaces, that, unlike Heaven Warren, that could cause us severe damage.
So just don't do it.
Yeah, 100%. It's, you know, it isn't worth the risk. No. If you want a barbecue, have one at home. I think it gets to the stage where technically you could argue that if people are doing it knowing the risks, you are endangering lives and certainly environment by carrying out those kind of actions, you know. And so that in normal times this probably wouldn't be an issue, but where we've got a severe drought, the ground is just prime to being to going up in flames. You know, any form of heat is going to be an issue, so that's the reason for looking at this disposable barbecue ban as part of this wider PSPA.
No, thank you, honestly, Ed Blake, Councillor Ed Blake. It's a real pleasure to have you in. Thanks for agreeing to come into the studio. So you were going to talk to us remotely, but really appreciate you making the effort to come into the studio and raising important awareness of this, because that's what it is, isn't it, at the end of the day. We're living in very interesting times, and it's nice to be able to raise awareness as well and just sort of dispel misconceptions, because I wasn't going to mention this actually, but I think I'm going to, because there's a misconception that based on the political party you're in, you're not interested in certain issues. And I think unfairly, in my opinion, and I'm not, as I say, I'm not standing on one side of the fence or the other, but it does tend to be Conservatives get a difficult time for not being particularly green. And actually, you're working with Ixhlavian, who is in the Green Party, you're a fisherman yourself, so you're committed and invested in the environment, and it's just really nice to get your perspective, to get your viewpoint, and to have you in the studio, really, to talk about those issues, and hopefully we've been all right, and I've not given you too much of a hard time over there.
I think the main thing is obviously that protecting the island is an all-party issue.
Exactly. So,
that's my reason for being in the position I am, is wanting to promote and protect the island.
And that is what it's about, isn't it? That is exactly what it is about, actually, everybody coming together despite their differences. So on behalf of the Vectis Radio listeners, thank you to you and your committee coming together collectively to raise awareness of this important issue, and hopefully we'll have you in once a bit more meat has been added onto the bone in terms of where it's going in terms of solutions.
That'd be brilliant. Thank you very much, Billy.
Brilliant. Councillor Ed Blake, thanks very much for your time this morning. It is 29 minutes to 12 here on Vectis Radio. We're going to play.